church. As you know, we're going to read Luke 11 and 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
I know most of you know Butch Richardson, but for those who may be visiting with us or are new to Christ Fellowship, I'll introduce him to you. Butch is, of course, one of the elders here at Christ Fellowship. And Butch is a man who, he's going to be talking about the sufficiency of Christ this morning, but he is a man who lives out the truth that he's going to be proclaiming to you. I've seen in his life over the 4 years that I've known him just a rest and a dependence upon Christ for everything. And I've noticed that specifically, Butch, in just ordinary, everyday living. And so if you guys aren't familiar with he and Pam's blog that they do, Everyday Living, Jesus Understands, go there this afternoon, especially after you hear Butch preach, and just enter into more of their life and their desire to glorify and honor Christ, not only here, but also all over the world. People are looking at this blog all over the place, and the gospel is going forth in so many astounding ways. And so, Butch, thank you for serving us faithfully as an elder. You guys, if you only knew the sacrifices and the love that he shows you in personal ways and impersonal ways behind the scenes. And so thank you for serving us that way. Thank you for being a model and exemplary husband to Pam, father and father-in-law to Seth and Allison, and even Da, that's his name as a grandfather, Da to Ella Mae. And just on a personal note, Butch, just in our time here in Gadsden, you've been, as far as embodying a spiritual father to me, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness, your love, your consistency, and your Christ-like character. And I know it's because you believe what you're preaching today, that Christ is sufficient. So, love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for preaching.
Thank you, brother. Wow, maybe we should, maybe we should just go home. let me get one thing accomplished before we start. This pair of sunglasses has been laying up here on a table for about 6 weeks. Do they belong to anybody? This is my table I have to use every Sunday. I'm just kidding. They are not yours. I don't want to see you with them on, let me put it that way. But if you've lost a pair, come and claim those later on there, because they've been up here for 2 months, I guess. Summertime's over, maybe you don't need them. All right, let me tell you, typically when we've got a room full of scholars. I mean, we got a room full of theologians here. I know that. And the doctor guys, you know, all these people here. Well, I'm not one of those. And I know what they're expecting. When you stand up here, you're supposed to have 3 points. They all start with the same letter, right? And then we end with a nice poem, something of that nature. Well, we don't really get it that way here, but that's typical. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be that way today. Not at all. In fact, Bradley, is Bradley in here? He may be in the nursery. He usually outlines these things, and it's going to be tough, brother. You just forget it, okay? you may can find something, but it won't be normal to you. But I appreciate you doing that. You've been doing that a lot, and that's very, very helpful. Thank you very much, Bradley, for doing that. I'm just teasing you. But all right, a subject that's not talked about very much at all, because we don't like to talk about it, is dying. Do you like to think about dying much? I mean, really. I don't, and I don't think you do. And you know, age is really irrelevant to dying. I had a young man I got to know recently that works for an agency in Atlanta that we work with in his 30s this week, buried him Friday, out biking with his brother, cross country, you know, mountain biking type. Got overheated, was dehydrated, had a cold, but nothing wrong with him, he didn't think, and had a heat stroke and passed away. Newly married. So it's irrelevant as to how old we are. However, when we're younger, I know that we don't think about it as much. No doubt. I mean, young people that you're in here, you don't think about dying that much. But the point is, ultimately, our main enemy, ultimately our enemy, folks, is death. You say, well, I mean, you know, I need food, I need this. If you don't get food, you starve and you die. It all comes down to our ultimate enemy in this life is death. That's what we all face. We will face it sooner or later. The enemy, death. And I want to start there, even though we're going to go somewhere else. But on the screen, guys, if we could, let's look at Genesis. There should be some verses there. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. And I want to begin there and talk a little bit about a subject that we don't like to talk about much. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and you can read it. I've got it here. I'll just let you look at it. Or I think it should be on an outline there. You should have an outline or on the back of your handout. And I believe, no, these verses won't be on there. These particular ones won't be on there. We'll get to those in a minute. Chapter 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, what's going to happen? You shall surely die. There it is. Genesis 3, let's go to the next chapter. Verse 2 through 4. And the woman then said to the serpent. The serpent comes along. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. There that death is again. But the serpent, he comes along and said to the woman, oh, you're not sure, you're not going to die. He's just telling you that. Another word I've got written in here for serpent is liar. He is a liar, and he's lying here. What happened? What did they do? Well, they ate. And the results of them eating, because they were lied to and they believed it, is death. Genesis 3, verse 19. Let's skip down to verse 19. God says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. On over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and we could get out tons of verses about this. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. The word there where it says men is a Greek word called anthropoi, and that means strictly humankind. It means men and women. We probably get our word anthropology from that, Derek, maybe, which is the study of humanness, of people. And that means all of us are going to die because of sin, death through sin, and death spread to every one of us. Now my question is, what are we going to do about this enemy? What in the world can we or are we going to do about such an enemy as death? So a question for you. Do you trust, do I trust, do we trust Jesus with our dying? Do we trust Him with our dying? If I took a survey in here, most of you probably would say, oh, absolutely. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe you're not a follower of Christ in here. And you don't know who you trust for your dying. Well, we want you to know that before you leave here today. You can know that. We're going to look at some verses about that. Maybe you don't trust Jesus because you don't know yet. But most of the people in the room probably would say He can be trusted with dying. And I know that He can. Most of you know that He can. Absolutely. Look at some verses with me about that before we move on. I want to stay in Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if, is that on the screen, guys? Okay. Because of one man's trespasses, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. When you see the word reign, it depicts full control. I've got this under control. It is supreme. It is a completeness. Death, because of sin, reigned and took full control of me and you. I mean, we couldn't do anything about it. But because of Christ, the free gift of righteousness, he says, reigns in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He took complete control, supreme over death. Look with me further. Let's look at some more. So that as sin reigned, there the word is again, in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I could, they're not on the outline, they're not on the screen today, but you and I could talk about the Romans road, Romans chapter 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Those verses aren't up there. Let's look at, of course, John 3:16. Probably most of the world knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Why did he do that? To conquer death so that we could have eternal life. Life in the Spirit. I'm at Romans, I guess this is 8:1 here. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. If we went on down to John 3:36, we'd see whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We usually use 3:16, but look at the rest of that chapter. It says it over and over. And finally, let's go down to Revelation, all the way to the end of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And right here, I want you to pay attention to this one. And I have the keys of death and Hades, the keys of death and hell. He holds the keys, folks, to all the things that have kept you away, that keep you defeated day after day after day. The heartache that nobody sees, that eats at your soul like a cruel disease. He who set the captives free, it is he who holds the keys. Wish I was still able to sing that song. There's a wonderful song about that. Most powerful song I believe I've ever had the opportunity to sing. Many years ago, my voice wouldn't let me do it anymore. Might do it one day anyway. Just squeak for the Lord. Hey, Doug. All right, brother. But that was the bridge of that song I just quoted you. Surprised I remembered it. All right. 1 Corinthians. We want to do one more, and we're going to get to our main text. He says, this is chapter 15, a great chapter. Read the whole chapter if you get time later. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. When he refers to that is written, he's talking about Hosea chapter 13 and Isaiah 25:8. Those, you'll find the same writing there if you want to look at those later. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But, wonderful conjunction here, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea here is a bee, if it has a stinger and it gets on you, it can sting you with that stinger. But a bee is harmless if the stinger has been removed. If the bee doesn't have a stinger, a bee is harmless. It's not going to hurt you. Christ has removed the stinger from death, from our enemy. The stinger is gone. It cannot harm those who know Christ. Which brings me to a point. I want to ask you a question. Most of us probably rely on the Lord and trust him completely with our dying because of these verses and hundreds more like them that are followers of Christ. And if you're not a follower of Christ, you can trust these verses. Jesus has made a way for you, that he's defeated the enemy. But here's my question. I think, and I know I do, we trust him for dying, but do we trust him for our living? Do we? Do we really trust God for our everyday living? Day by day, moment by moment, going to work, going to school, things that we do. And I want us to look and know that we can do that. I want to hopefully compliment what Cohen preached out of Acts 4 few weeks ago, which was wonderful, about God's sovereignty and things that happen in our life. We're not going to get around them. Derek's been preaching on trust, Hebrews 11. I hope this, in a way, although it's totally different in some ways, I hope it'll be very complimentary to what these guys have been led to share with us. So, I want us to know that we can be complete in Him. Christ is sufficient for our dying, for our living. Let's stand together and read through, if we could, Colossians. The main text today is Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 14, and then we'll go back and look at it, pick it apart a little bit. And you should have this one written on there. All right, chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the fact that our enemy, death, has been defeated. And not only can we trust You when we leave this life, we can trust You with each and every day of our lives. And I pray that we would learn to do that more and more and more. And thank You for this opportunity today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want us to really look at verse 10 particularly, but we're going to look at all of them. But I want to go over just a few statistics here with you and tell you a couple of things before we start in. Now, I know you don't want a bunch of figures and statistics. You're not going to remember those. You won't remember when you leave here today. It's not the point that we memorize all these statistics. But the statistics will tell us a whole lot about our everyday living, if you please, just by hearing these things and knowing what's going on. I read something interesting this week. It said, our belief in progress has increased our expectations. The result is mass disappointment. The gospel, folks, is alive. It's alive and well, and it's for now as well as later. And I don't know if we live like that or not. I know I fail to live like that a lot. Well, am I going to trust Him, or am I going to try to find my own way? Pam and I were in Colorado this last week and enjoying a lot of music. John Denver is one of my favorite all-time singer-songwriters. He's a secular guy, but he wrote about nature and a lot of good things. He had a song called Looking for Space. It's one of my favorites. Musically, you know, the lyrics are not great. They showed a man that was looking for something that he couldn't find, looking for space, trying to find my own way. We can't find our own way. Trying to know and understand, the song says. It's a sweet, sweet dream. Sometimes I'm almost there. Sometimes we do this, we fly like an eagle. Y'all have good days, don't you? But sometimes I'm deep in despair. That's life. We always want a little bit more. We can't quite get there. I got to have a little more. I'm looking for something that I can't quite get a hold of. And I know I may be the only one like this, but this is pretty often for me. Medications for depression and anxiety is the number one medication prescribed now for people between 18 and 44 years old. Those medications for that type of thing has increased 400% in the last two decades. 400%. 85% of us say that we've got anxiety over finances. And 70% of us will say it really affects adversely my life at home. I read a guy, I don't know who wrote this, he said, the epidemic of anxiety is not just a mental health issue. It's also cultural pathology. Our way of life promotes anxiety and its consequences. There are now robots in places like a church in Germany called Bless You Too. And the robot speaks 5 or 6 or 7 languages. It can speak male or female, whatever you choose. Got plastic fingers and it blesses you. There's robots in Japan. There's robots in places like Beijing. One of them is a robot that's a Buddhist priest that actually performs funerals. And the other one is will describe to you what Buddhism means and teach you about that in Beijing, China. It's just everywhere we look. A third of our pastors battle discouragement, fear of being inadequate, being depressed. Don't get this. Maybe I got it on my phone. I don't need to take much time here, but do you know Dan Brown? Do y'all remember Dan Brown, the Da Vinci Code guy? A nut. Don't mess with anything of his. But he's got out this new book called Origin, and I just want you to, if I can find that, it's on my phone here. All right, here it is. New book, Origin. He's got this character in there, a scientist that claims we're becoming a hybrid species, a fusion of biology and technology. The same tools that today are outside our bodies, our smartphones, here it is, smartphones, hearing aids, which I don't have mine in today, and I get in trouble about that all the time, reading glasses, pharmaceuticals, in 50 years will be incorporated into our bodies to such an extent that we will no longer be able to consider ourselves Homo sapiens. We won't even have to be human anymore. It's going to do it all for us. The scientist in the book says this, here's a quote, and we move into an undefined tomorrow. We will transform ourselves as we do that into something greater than we can yet imagine, with powers beyond our wildest dreams. That's where we are, folks. That's where we live every day. We face all kinds of things. And it's different for me and different for you. I'll give you an example. I been on vacation, got back to work. There was so much piled up there, I wondered, well, why did I go on vacation? I had all these people I had to call. I had an environmentalist and I had a surveyor. And have you ever dealt with the Army Corps of Engineers? Do you know who I'm talking about? Doug has. It's like the EPA. Have you dealt with it? This is a nightmare, folks. I'm telling you, government bureaucracy. And so I had this deal. It took about 3 hours. I had to call this one, call that one. Okay, what are we going to do about this? That's not... You know, there's no floodplain there. There's no wetlands there. We've already proved that. How many times have I got to tell you? And we've got to go through all this again. After 3 hours, I finally paused, stressed out. I said, Lord, I need some help with this. This needs to come together. I've had a little prayer sitting at my desk. And my point to all of us is this, is about priority. Why didn't I do that when I first encountered all that? And then would it have changed who I had to call? Probably not. Would it have changed who I had to deal with and the things I had to do for the next 3 hours? Maybe not. What it would have changed is my attitude and my stress level toward all that. I would have gone into that just trusting God that I'd talk to Him about it. You see, I know that's a simple point. That's not like facing the death of a loved one or something else that one of us may face today sitting here. But the principle is the same. Why didn't I do that first? As a songwriter, we're always looking for something. How much time did you tell me, Derek? Hour and a half? No, I'm just kidding, folks. He didn't tell me that. 2 hours. I get to talk and forget. I got to quit. You always think, well, I got enough. This is about 10 minutes worth and it's longer. As a songwriter, you're always looking, Seth Tay and others that may do that. Musicians. We're always looking for a newspaper article. You see, it's anything that said, boy, I'd make a good song. So I'm going down the road years ago and down south working, and I see this big billboard. And it's got the palm trees and the big, nice facility and all that. And it says, come find your place in the sun. Derek, you've been to the coast. You see that billboard? Is it still down there? These realtors put it up there. A place in the sun. Come buy this. Rent this. Stay here with us. You know, you can have this. A place in the sun. I said, boy, that would make a good song. So I began to write a song about that. And a month two later, I didn't quite finish it all. A month two later, I realized, hey, wait a minute. There's a song that was kind of along that line. Anybody know Stevie Wonder? Have you heard of Stevie Wonder? All right, show your hands. Have you heard of Stevie Wonder? Okay, you have heard of Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder in 1966 had recorded a song called A Place in the Sun. Then I found out there's a novel been written back in the 20s, and then in 1951, the year I was born, there was a movie called A Place in the Sun, which I've never seen it, but anyway. So I said, well, my goodness, I remember that song, A Place in the Sun, so I will go back and look it up. Now, I think, guys, do we have those? I think we got the words of that song. This is a secular song, but I want to point out something to you. Let's just read along with me, whatever. I want to read. This is a song I saw on a billboard. I said, this would make a great song for the church. You said, what are you talking about? Okay, look. Doesn't this describes us like a long, lonely stream. I keep running towards a dream. Moving on. Like a branch on a tree, I keep reaching to be free. Moving on. And surely this guy's thinking, because there's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone, where my poor restless heart's got to run. There's a place in the sun. Before my life is done, I got to find me that place in the sun. Like an old dusty road, I get weary from the load. Moving on. Like this tired, troubled earth. It is a tired earth. The earth is groaning. Creation's groaning since sin. I've been rolling since my birth. Moving on. And the bridge of that song said, you know when times are bad, and Stevie speaks it, and you're feeling sad, I want you to always remember, he says, there's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone, where my poor restless heart's got to run. There's a place in the sun, and before my life is done, I've got to find me a place in the sun. You know what I find wrong with that song? One letter. Change one letter. Change the U in sun everywhere you see it and make an O out of it. Found my place in the sun where his love keeps me warm. I didn't finish the song or I'd sing it for you, but I'm going to finish it one day, Lord willing. Found my place in the sun. That's not later. That's here. That's everyday living. You think you can't come up with a song out of a billboard, but you can. He just didn't quite get it right. One letter off. Our text, I want to go back to one letter off. Oh, man. Completeness is only found in Christ. It's it. Verse 10. It's only found in Christ. John 1:16 says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. All right. I'm going to pick this apart just a little bit. Just my thoughts as I go through it very quickly. Therefore, as you have, I'm back in Colossians chapter 2, guys. Are we there? Okay. So you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in him. Walking is active. It is now. It is. Walking is our. This is about our daily conduct, how we conduct ourselves daily. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith that our guys have been preaching about. Established. These words, catch these words. These aren't future tense words. These are present tense. These are things that have happened, that are done, that are available. There's some things in the future, yes. But there's some things that are present. He said, established in the faith. Just as you were taught. You've been taught. You know this. You've got God's word. We've got God's word. Abounding in thanksgiving. And I think the word thanksgiving may be a key to every bit of this. It's whatever we do, whatever we approach, whatever we face in life, the difficulty you have today, tomorrow, approach it like Paul said, with thanksgiving. That might should be number one. and then move on into whatever it is and whatever we need to do. In lieu of the time, just think about these. I know there's some much wonderful future things out there, but these are active daily conducts. See verse 8 that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Let me go back to the word philosophy there. The Colossian heresy that was going on in this day was an intellectual kind of thing whereby they were taking the intellect and the mind and what we can know is just far above, and you know, they had it all figured out. This word philosophy, the word here in the original, I believe is the only time that this particular word is used in the scriptures. It's used very, maybe not at all anywhere else. And here was the rub. Here was the what they were teaching. And always the body is evil and the spirit is good. So they were saying Jesus couldn't be God's son in a body. He couldn't have come in the flesh. That was the big controversy here. Because to them, this intellect, they had it figured, nothing in the body could be good. And nothing in the body is good except one, and that's Christ. That was the problem here. That was where this philosophy comes in. It's a heresy, dependent on intellect. And look at verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Everything about God is found in Christ. It's all there. It all dwells in him, everything about him. So, if we went back to John 1:16 that I read a while ago, for from his fullness, everything about God, we have all received, think about this, grace upon grace. That's grace replacing grace. That's when you need more grace, when the burdens go greater, he giveth more grace. That's what that's about. Okay. And one that I really, really love, and you have been filled in him. And this person that we've been filled in, and this has already happened, by the way, if you're a follower of Christ. He says you've been filled. This is for today, who is the head of all rule and all authority. The one that's the head of everything fills and indwells me and you, if we know Christ. The King James says, and this is where I come up with the words, we are complete. It says, ye are complete in him. Complete. That is so key and it's meant so much to me in my life through the years. All right, let's go on in lieu of time. Filled, completeness, past tense, it's done. Raised, made alive. It's happened. That's how we can face every day. In him also, you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And we all know that circumcision was a physical out expression, physical, and Jesus comes along. It's why it says made without hands. It's not physical. I won't go into that verse too much because of time. Let's just move on there. Having been buried with him, buried, E-D on the word, not, hey, we're going to be buried one of these days. Buried with him with baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses. That's where we were. We read those verses a while ago. You who were dead in trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God will make alive one of these days. It's not what it says. That's true. We'll have a glorified body and we'll be alive forevermore one of these days. But he said, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. It's canceled. It's done. With all its legal demands. And then he set aside, nailing it to his cross. The idea back in the day was when a criminal was going to be crucified or put to death, what they would do to let everybody know that they would make a list and they'd nail that to the cross. of all the stuff the person had done wrong. Okay, this guy killed three people. He's a terrorist. He did this. He did this. This. They had a tendency to put that up there, to list the offenses. And as we can remember, when they nailed Jesus to a cross, they didn't know really what to put on there. What did they put on there, Derek? This is Jesus, King of the Jews. You know, that's all they could put. They couldn't put a list of offenses. Why couldn't they put a list of offenses? Because he didn't have any. There's nothing they could nail up there. The offenses that this is talking about that's nailed to the cross is mine and yours. And my list is long. There wouldn't have been room to put mine on there. Jesus took all of our offenses, everything about us, and nailed them. He did the nailing, basically. I mean, he nailed them to the cross. They were placed there for a purpose, because we couldn't do anything about this death thing. You know, he canceled that debt. There would be a certificate of debt, and you'd have to sign that, just like we do now. You owe something, you sign a paper committing to pay it. Well, this death thing, we couldn't pay. So he canceled that certificate, canceled that. You're free. It's done. It's paid for. It's complete. There is completeness in Christ. You can't add anything to completeness. What can you add to something that's complete, that's total? And that's the point. Look at your outline, or excuse me there, Wade. I forget about this thing being on. I'm not used to that. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's go back and look at a few more verses, and then I want you to look at some things on the outline. Who is this Jesus? And we don't have time to go through these verses, but this just kind of sums up. This is the Christ that indwells us. This is the one that we have daily with our everyday living. This is the person. This is what we have available to us now. Later, yes, but now, day by day. Chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. This is the God that indwells us now through his Spirit. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We face difficult days, don't we? But this is the God who is with us now. Later, yeah. But this is the God for everyday living. Think about who he is. I used to use that verse 17 in a tithing testimony. The Baptists used to ask people to get up in January. We had giving month or something. I forget what it's called. And because that's one, you say, that's not about giving. Well, it is to me. He's before everything. And it's by him that everything holds together. That has something to do with how I ought to think about my giving. Anyway, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness, here it is, of God was pleased to dwell. Completeness, fullness, everything about God. And through him to reconcile himself all things, to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. Yes, heaven. It does say heaven there, but it does say on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. Look at your outline, if you would, now. Let's look at it next. I wrote something down there, just listed a few things, and it could be three or four pages of stuff, a book of stuff here, but there's just a few here. Jesus is completely sufficient for everything related to living. Dying, yep, you better believe it. If you don't know that, we want you to know it before the day's over. But he's sufficient for living, for everyday living, whatever it is. He's sufficient for creation, Colossians 1. Salvation, Hebrews 10. You can find these in a number of places. Sanctification, Ephesians 5, 24 through 27. He is sufficient for glorification, Romans 8, 30. He has all wisdom and knowledge are His. He has no beginning and no end. Revelation 1, we've read that. He is the only God. And it's coming Christmas soon. He is the wonderful counselor of the mighty God. We hear this a lot. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, found in Isaiah 9, a very familiar passage. And He is, Matthew 22, 31 through 32, God of the living. That's who He is. I debated whether or not I'd do this or not. I didn't know if I'd have the voice to do it, but maybe I will. Oh, I got another hour, Derek. I'll sing a song that's about every bit of this.
Hear the clock alarm. There's no time to rest. A new day has begun. In spite of the hurry, there's still a mess. So much is left undone. Rush to the school, rush by the store. My look, how much things cost. As mom tells kids who ask for more about the job that daddy lost. Dad who's tired and weary, he sits down to pay the bills. Oh, his heart is broken. A loved one has grown ill. Time he seeks a quiet place to pray for every need. Then he finds his Bible and he begins to read. He finds everyday living. Jesus understands. Everyday living, God became a man. The Father knows our pathway, each moment what we face. Spend every day living by grace. With many years behind him, an old man sits alone. Most of life now memories. There's no one else at home. And though his eyes are very dim, his sight is very clear. Because he sees what many fail to see. He knows his help is near. He knows every day living. Jesus understands. For every day living, God became a man. Father knows our pathway, each moment what we face. So spend every day living by grace. Join hands with the Father and hearts with His Son. The more we draw nigh to Him, the closer He will come. Every day living, each moment what we face. So spend every day living by grace.
Well, I just want to conclude. I know we're going to have to go. Just get rid of this. So. Let's look at a verse, 2 Corinthians, as we get ready to finish it up here. Chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Look at it with me. Is that on the outline, guys? It's at the bottom of it, isn't it? Okay. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything that's coming from us. I got nothing to claim, folks, that's coming from me. But our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient. Catch that. This is for everyday living, to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, what I've said to you today, folks, is not my best life now. Somebody gave me that CD years ago when that book came out. And it took me a while. They did it good intention, well intention. I'll tell you how long it took me. I listened to about 10 minutes of it and threw it away. This life is tough. I'm not saying we've got a God that's with us with everyday living, whatever we face. But we will face things. That's the point. But He is sufficient. We are complete in Him. He reigns. Completeness, total. The gospel is not just for dying, but it's for our struggles with everyday living. And we just need to learn to accept our position in Him. And some things I'm working on, and here they are, I'll tell you what they are, is I want to be intentional about these kind of things. And you have to make up your mind to be intentional. And I want to start out with being more thankful. I need to be more thankful. If I'd be thankful when the sun's shining, everything's good, constantly, I would find myself being more thankful when I ran into a snag, to a real problem. I would be in thankful mode, and I would do it then as well as when things are going well. And I believe, like anything else, it requires discipline. I'll leave that with you. I am a disciplined person in a few areas, but not too many. It requires the same kind of discipline to live with the Lord and allow Him to be sufficient in our lives as it does to discipline ourselves to eat right, to exercise, to learn how to play one of these instruments, to sing a song. Whatever it is you do, your work, whatever it is we do, we have to be disciplined to do it. Make a habit out of it, don't we? I got a habit. I like to go to the gym and I like to run. You can't tell it, but anyway, I still do it. But I'm disciplined to do it. About the only area in my life I'm disciplined, I think. But I'm disciplined to do it. Am I telling you that we should make a habit out of God? Maybe. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Yeah, let's do that. But make it much, much more, much deeper than a habit. It's much more important than me being disciplined to go to the gym. That's not a little bodily exercise profit, if some, a little bit. But be disciplined is what I've got to do, like any other discipline, to apply these things into my life. And I like what Cohen and Derek have been teaching us. Cohen said it the other day. We start out, and I did this, that little example I gave you. We start out in the boonies out here in the sky somewhere. Oh, I got this problem. What am I going to do about this today? And we reach, and we're way out here, and we keep coming, and finally get down to, Jesus died for this. Lord, trust God for this everyday living. Instead, I loved what you said the other day, start at the cross. That should be the starting place. And work our way outward from that. We start in the wrong place. We may, and we go through all this stuff and we finally end up there, maybe. Might not even end up there. And I just want to learn to start at the cross. The gospel is for dying, yes, but the gospel is for living every day, complete in the sufficiency of Christ. Derek.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you even in this moment that your finished work on our behalf is sufficient. And so even in this moment, we rest in you. Lord, I pray that for those who have never found their rest in you, that they would find it today. Look to you, Jesus. If that's you, even in this moment, look to him. Rest in him, the one who died for you and who alone can give you life. And for those of us who are already in Christ, resting in him and learning to do that in everyday living, God, I pray that you would give us more grace. Grace to be intentional and grace to be disciplined and grace to trust you more. And so, Lord, in this moment, as we celebrate your finished work through communion, we pray that you would bring even greater rest to our souls.